Sunday, the 26th of May, 1940, may not mean much to you, but it was a very important day, because on Sunday, May the 26th, 1940, King George VI called for a national day of prayer. Sunday, September the 8th, 1940, was another national day of prayer. You see, the reason for those two days of prayer was obviously the Second World War, and Adolf Hitler and his murderous Nazi regime were advancing across Europe, and the situation was perilous. And King George VI realized the need for divine intervention, and so he called for two national days of prayer. And I was actually watching a video of one of the days of the people coming in to Westminster Abbey on one of the days of prayer. You see, this is modern technology. You can watch things from years ago on the internet, and it was amazing to see the queues of people outside Westminster Abbey on the day of prayer. You see, people back then realized their need of Almighty God. The problem today is that most people don't realize their need of God. Most people don't believe that they need God. As far as most people are concerned today, they can get along fine without God. But then, of course, whenever adversity comes and whenever situations deteriorate, then people realize their need of Almighty God. I don't know, perhaps the Lord would need to bring along World War III to bring back our nation to Himself. I don't know what exactly the Lord would need to do, but of course the Lord knows exactly what needs to be done, and we'll leave it in His hands. But how sad it is today that people have no sense of need. They don't need God. Well, back in the Second World War, the people of our nation realized that they needed God, and they realized that a day of prayer was of great importance. And you know, friends, I want to talk today about the day of prayer that we have planned for next Saturday. And I want to encourage you to prepare yourself for the day of prayer and to attend the day of prayer. And you know, as I was thinking about the day of prayer, I was thinking about Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10, the passage that we read earlier. And I want you to think first of all with me here about a call to assemble. You see, the Lord gives Moses the command here to make two silver trumpets. And the trumpets are to be used to call the people of Israel together. They are to be used to assemble the Israelites together. You'll notice the call to assemble in verse 3 of Numbers chapter 10. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Whenever the Lord wanted the people of Israel to come to the house of God, He would command Moses to blow with the trumpet. Or as it is in Numbers 10, it's actually it's the priests who are to blow with the trumpets. But these two trumpets, these two silver trumpets, were to be blown. They were to be sounded in order to assemble the congregation together. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, the people who were to assemble. The people who were to assemble. You'll notice that it says, all the assembly shall assemble themselves. All the assembly. It doesn't say some of the assembly, most of the assembly, but it says all the assembly shall assemble themselves. Friends, can I encourage you next Saturday to assemble yourselves for the day of prayer? And can I encourage everyone in the meeting this morning, everyone who knows Christ, everyone who is born again, can I encourage you this morning to determine that you're going to be at the day of prayer? That you're going to come to the house of God? Because you see, you're important. Every Christian is important. And perhaps you say, well, I don't know if I could come because I'm not very good at praying. I've never prayed audibly before, and I'd be very nervous. I would feel very intimidated in a prayer meeting. Well, I want to tell you today, your presence in the meeting is what matters. Even if you decide not to pray outwardly at all, the very fact that you'll be there, the Lord will take note of it. And the Lord will bless you for it. And let's be honest about it. Silent prayers are every bit as important as audible prayers. In fact, you know, oftentimes I think that there are dear Christians attending prayer meetings across Ulster, and they never really pray in the prayer meeting, but they pray inwardly, and their prayers are of great importance. Just because a person doesn't pray outwardly in the prayer meeting doesn't mean that they're any less important in the sight of God. Every believer is precious to the Lord, and the Lord wanted all of the assembly to gather together at the tabernacle of the congregation. And next Saturday, the Lord wants every believer to gather together. If it is humanly possible, will you be at the day of prayer? Will you set aside the time to acknowledge before God that we are in great need? That as individual Christians, we're in great need. That as a congregation, we're in great need. That as a country, we're in great need. So the people who were to assemble, it was all the assembly. Now, how many people would that have been? Probably about 2 million. Because commentators, scholars would say that there were about 2 million people probably came out of Egypt and journeyed through the wilderness. 2 million people. What a multitude. Can you just picture the scene? The camps of Israel, the tents of the tribes of Israel scattered abroad across the desert sands. And in the middle of the host of Israel is the house of God. It's the tabernacle right in the center. And there you have this great multitude of people who are surrounding the house of God. The trumpet has been blown. The call to assemble has been given. Here's a picture of revival. What a picture of revival. You see, whenever revival comes, the first place that people go to is the house of God. The first place that people think of is the house of the Lord. And you know, next Saturday, as we come together for prayer, I'm sure that our prayer will be, Lord, send us revival. Lord, cause the precious souls in new buildings who see no need of God, precious souls in new buildings who, as far as they're concerned, God doesn't exist. Lord, will you cause them to think about your house? Will you cause them to think about the need to come to your house so that they might hear the message of salvation, that they might hear how they can be forgiven, how they can enter into a wonderful relationship with yourself. Yes, revival. We have it right here in Numbers chapter 10. The multitudes coming to the house of God. Christian, don't you long for that day? Doesn't your heart just ache for that day to come? You see, I've heard people say, there's far too many churches in Ulster. There's far too many churches. We don't need half the churches. Well, if revival came, we'd have to build more churches. There wouldn't be enough churches. We wouldn't have enough churches to contain the people who want to attend the house of God. Oh, that God would blow the trumpet, as it were. Oh, that the trumpet would sound. Oh, that the Spirit would come. Oh, that the Spirit of God would be poured out in such a way that the multitudes would be found in the house of God. And so the people who were to assemble, it was the entire assembly, it was the whole congregation of Israel. Not only the people who were to assemble, but notice the place that they were to assemble. It tells us that it was at the door. It was at the door. You see, the people could go no further than the door. Whenever they got to the door of the tabernacle, that great curtain where they entered into the tabernacle, they weren't allowed to go any further. They came to the door of the tabernacle. But you know, next Saturday, we can go right into the holiest of all. We're not excluded. We're not kept out. We're actually far more privileged than the children of Israel. We don't have to stop at the door, as it were. We can come right into the presence of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having boldness, therefore, brethren, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The people of Israel weren't allowed into the holiest. They weren't allowed into that sacred area where the Ark of the Covenant was. They weren't allowed even into the area where the priests served, where the showbread and the candlestick and where the golden altar was. They weren't even allowed in there. And they weren't allowed even into the court. The priests would take the animals for sacrifice off the people, and they would sacrifice them on the brazen altar in the court. And it tells us here that the people, they were to come to the door, the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, but no further. My, what a privileged people we are, that we can come right into the Holy of Holies. You see, every time we pray, we enter into the holiest of all. What a privilege. You wouldn't miss it for anything, would you? Notice not only that there was a call to assemble, but then there was a call to awake. A call to awake. You see, in verses 5 and 6, it tells us, when ye blow an alarm, when ye blow an alarm. Notice that phrase. You see, the trumpet was to be blown on certain occasions as an alarm. It was to be blown so that the people would be awakened or stirred because there was a threatening situation. There was a situation that was cause for alarm. And so there were certain times whenever the priests would have to blow the alarm. You know, friends, sometimes the Lord has to blow his alarm. Sometimes the Lord needs to awaken us, his children. He needs to awaken us, his people, to the need of the day. He needs to awaken us and stir us so that we might realize the need of the hour. Friends, we're living in a very needy day and generation. We're living in a day and generation whenever the tide is out, as it were, spiritually speaking. We're living in a day and a generation whenever people generally have little or no time for God. We live in a day and generation whenever you tell someone Jesus loves you and they say, so what? That's generally the condition of our land. There's apathy everywhere. Lack of interest. It just seems to be at the present time that God is irrelevant. God is irrelevant. The alarm needs to be sounded. We need to get to prayer. Yes, there is need for a day of prayer. You see, that's the only exercise that will turn the tide. It's the only antidote for the present situation. God's people meeting together for prayer. You know, oftentimes we look back at the, as we call them, the good old days, whenever the Lord was at work, and whenever souls were being saved, and whenever the churches were filled to capacity, such was the hunger for the Word of God. We look back to those days and, you know, we say to ourselves, what has gone wrong? What has happened? How is it that things today are so different? Well, you see, I believe that there are many reasons why the Lord is not working the way he used to. But I'll tell you, friends, one of the reasons why he's not working as he used to do is because you don't hear of too many days of prayer nowadays. How many churches have days of prayer? You know, back years ago, every church, every evangelical, every church that loved Christ and loved the souls of men and women, every such church had its day of prayer. Not a year went past, but there was the day of prayer. And God's people gathered together and they cried out to God. As it tells us in the book of Jonah, it tells us there about the people of Nineveh crying mightily unto God. And you know, that's what a past generation of Christians did. And we need to get back to that day. We need to get back to crying mightily unto God. Yes, the alarm must be sounded. I trust that this morning you can hear the alarm. I trust that the Spirit of God throughout this week will cause the alarm to sound even louder, as it were. I trust that as we go through this week, that the Spirit of God will lay on our hearts such a desire and a longing to be in the day of prayer, that he will give us that longing to be in the place where we can just, as it were, cast ourselves before the Lord and just cry out to the Lord and just tell the Lord, Lord, the situation is desperate. And Lord, we are in great need. And Lord, we are powerless to turn the tide. We are powerless, Lord, we are powerless against the forces of evil that seem to be arrayed against the church. But Lord, step in. Lord, we need divine intervention. Yes, the alarm needed to be sounded. Child of God, perhaps is it that the alarm needs to be sounded in your ears today so that you will see the need for prayer? Yes, you're saved. Praise the Lord for that. But are you a praying Christian? I know that it's a battle. I know that it's a struggle. It's not easy. And the devil will put 101 things in our way to keep us away from the prayer meeting. He does it every Thursday night for me. He does it every Sunday night for me, and he'll do the same for you. And on Saturday, no doubt, Friday night and Saturday morning, all hell will break loose. You mark my words. Something will happen. I don't know what it'll be, but it'll be something. And you know, behind it all, it's the evil one, because he wants to keep you and me away from the place of prayer. And why does he want to keep us away from the place of prayer? Well, if I can use the words of Lord Tennyson, more things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. The call to assemble, the call to awake, and the call to arms. In verse 9, and if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. You see, whenever the enemy was attacking, the trumpets had to be sounded. And you know, the enemy of souls is attacking today. The enemy of the church is on the warpath today. And the only way that we can fight against the enemy, the only way that we can resist the enemy and drive him back, is in the place of prayer. Yes, there is a call to arms. There is a call to arms coming today from heaven. And the Lord is calling us to get to the place of prayer. Come to the day of prayer. Take up arms against the enemy. The enemy who is oppressing. I want you to notice that. Israel didn't start the war here. It's their enemy that starts the war. If ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you. The enemy that oppresseth you. The enemy started the war. Israel was only acting in self-defense. You know, friends, the enemy is still the same today. The enemy is oppressing the church today in Ulster. The enemy is oppressing souls today in Ulster. The enemy is oppressing your children, your loved ones, your sons, your daughters. The enemy will seek to damn your loved ones. He'll seek to damn your children. He'll seek to damn your friends and your neighbors. He's the oppressor. And the alarm must be blown. And we've got to go out and fight with Amalek. And the fight starts next Saturday at 10 o'clock. A call to approach. A call to approach. You notice verse 10 of the chapter tells us also, in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. Did you notice that? The trumpets were to be blown over the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. The trumpets were blown at the place of sacrifice. The trumpets were blown at the very spot of earth where the blood fell. And you see, this reminds us today that we are able to approach a holy God through the blood of the Lamb. And on Saturday, as we meet for our day of prayer, we come to God through the shed blood of His dear Son. That's the only way that we can approach God Almighty. There is no other way of approach. And it's always been the same. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and right up to the present day, ever since the beginning of time, there has only been one way to approach God: through the blood. You can try to approach Him through your own holiness and your own righteousness and what you do and what you've achieved and all the rest of it, but I tell you, you'll get the door shut and slammed in your face. Heaven's door will be slammed. It will be shut tight. And you'll not be admitted into the presence of God. No, self-righteousness never gets anyone into the presence of God, I tell you. It's only the righteousness of Christ, and it's only the shed blood of Christ that gets us into, that permits us to enter into the presence of God. We can approach the Lord through the sacrifice of His Son. Next Saturday, as we meet for the day of prayer, we have this glorious privilege of approaching the Almighty God of heaven. He calls us to approach. He calls us into His presence. If you were called into the presence of Queen Elizabeth II, you wouldn't think twice about going. If you got an invitation to a garden party in Buckingham Palace, well, you wouldn't need to sit down and think about it, and I wonder, will I go? But on Saturday, you're being invited into the presence of someone infinitely greater than Her Majesty. Yes, you're being invited into the presence of His Majesty, King Jesus. Will you approach Him? Yes, we're weak. We're feeble. We have many shortcomings. But He still invites us. He invites us into His presence. He invites us, if I can put it like this, He invites us to sit at His table. And you remember the story of Mephibosheth, how that young Mephibosheth was lame. But whenever he was brought to the king's table, his lameness was covered. And as he sat at the king's table, nobody could see his lameness. No one could see his weakness. His weakness was covered. His infirmities, his deformity was covered. Friends, even though we fall far short of God's mark, yet we can come like Mephibosheth next Saturday and sit at the king's table, covered by the righteousness of Christ. The call to approach. Approach, my soul, the mercy seat where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before His feet, for none can perish their